Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
You want your Burt Show in one full show every day, uninterrupted, and dang it, you don't want ads. No problem. Become a bonus Burt Show subscriber. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burt Show.
I hate when your significant other is right. You both know it and you have to admit it, right? My former fiance could tell when I was being like a little bit on the cranky side, right? Just a little bit on the moody side. She'd go, oh, yeah, it's because it's a full moon. I'm like, this is crazy. I don't buy in all that, man. And yesterday I had just one of those days where everything was just bothering me, just bugging me, things that normally wouldn't. And I'm walking in this morning in the parking lot, and there is that damn full moon.
Yeah, it's been big and beautiful the past couple days.
Yeah.
Damn. I haven't even noticed.
And you got to walk in the morning.
I know.
You're literally walking underneath this beautiful full moon this morning.
I don't think I take interviews like I should.
I think there's something to it, though.
Well, he's got to have his head on a swivel. He can't be looking up at the sky. He needs to be looking for cars to hit him.
I only take once to get hit by a car. Change your whole way across the street.
That happened a couple of years ago. All right, so it's one thing to be embarrassed in front of your friends. It is a totally different thing to be embarrassed and called out on national TV.
So, yeah, I thought this would be fun to maybe put us to the test and see if we can do a little better than this contestant did, because I saw this clip from Family Feud, and I thought it was hilarious. And it's always funny in these moments when the bright lights are on, the pressure is on, you're trying to think of something really quickly to say. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how often people get in trouble in their relationships and within their families for some of these answers that they give in these pressure-filled moments. And so in this particular instance, the question was, if you had to name something that describes your significant other in the bedroom, but it starts with a W, what would it be? And here was her answer.
Give me a word starting with W that describes your man in the bedroom.
Weak.
No!
Bro, whoever you are. Weak!
All you had to do is say wonderful.
That's it.
That's it.
Winning. You gave me anything else.
Wow!
Yes.
What she did was give his friends a lifetime invitation to give him a hard time every time they see him.
He will never, ever hear the end of that.
No.
And I know he was at home steaming, waiting for her to get there. You can't take that one back.
All right, so we're going to play a little game
called
Describe Your Love Life.
Abby, let's hope you get N to use non-existent.
Oh,
we're starting the show today.
I was going to say, if we're looking for a W word, it could just be wishful thinking. So we are going to go around the room. I'm going to give each of you a random letter.
Oh, damn.
And you have to use that letter to describe your love life, okay?
Mine might be non-existing after this too, Abby.
And you have to do it like within 3 seconds.
You have to do it within 3 seconds, all right? So, Mo, we're going to start with you since you brought in that stellar audio.
All right.
Describe your love life with the letter P.
Wow. Princess-like.
Princess-like. What the hell? Like, are you a pillow princess?
Listen, every word that came to mind I couldn't say on air, and I still not panicked, all right?
How about perfect?
It's a lot easier when you're not under the pressure, Bert.
Princess-like.
I'm sorry, that answer is not on the board.
Okay, maybe it's a little bit harder than we had anticipated. Okay.
Abby.
Non-existent.
No, I'm not giving you that letter. Abby, describe your love life with the letter F.
Freaky.
Okay.
That's how it's done. That's how it's done.
That's a better answer. I can't hold you. That's a better answer.
Okay. I know, considering some of the interactions you've had on dating apps, freaky. Very, very good answer.
Yeah, men not using their hands to eat the chips at the Mexican restaurant, freaky.
Yeah, freaky. All right, Bert.
Yes, go.
Describe your love life using the letter H.
Happy.
Yes!
That's in the same field as Princess.
The first H word that came to mind that I had to like block out was horrible.
See?
Yes.
You start canceling words in your mind.
All right, KK, let's do one for you.
No, yeah,
which mean,
good.
Mo?
No. We'll turn it on you now. Okay. Kristen.
Yes.
Describe your love life.
Really quick. This is not fun. Anxiety is through the roof.
See?
Using the letter O.
Outstanding.
Yeah, all right, wow.
That's how it's played right there. Yeah. Well done, queen.
Ooh.
Well done.
We're done.
Okay.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
We got to talk about this Kanye West interview with Justin LaBoy. I woke up to this audio on the Shade Room this morning. If you thought Kanye was crazy before, he's full on unhinged now.
Oh, shut up. Are you serious?
Yes.
He's back.
Has he got an album coming out or anything? Is that what we got?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that we learned. I'll start with some of the more tame things, like the fact that he says that he's releasing Vulture 2 next month. He talks about who he's going to vote for. I don't really care to talk about politics. He's upset over J. Cole's single False Prophets, which is allegedly about him. But
he was going off on J. Cole. I watched some of it also.
Yeah.
And he is not a fan of the apology in rap music.
Nah, and like that song that Abby just mentioned is from a while ago where he calls it False Prophets, and the first verse pretty much is all about how Kanye let him down in a sense, and I think Kanye's been holding on to some animosity ever since.
Yeah, listen to it. It is. He goes in hard on him. Really hard on him.
There's a moment where he says he wants to have a threesome with Michelle Obama. That's fun. But then there's this...
What, let's that not man. Just breeze past that.
No, let's not, because that man can't keep up with Michelle Obama.
At all.
But then there's this very uncomfortable moment between him and Justin where he calls himself God, and you can just see Justin get so nervous where he starts to have like a nervous giggle, and Kanye's like, why are you laughing?
What a man think he is. So, you know, we not the slaves. We are the kingdom, and I'm the head of the kingdom. I am God. No one can suggest to me, period.
Wow.
You can't tell my daughter to come say to me about Jesus. I'm just tell you some real simple. God runs the world. I am God. I run the world.
He's laughing.
Let me make that very clear.
All right, man. We moving on. The next hottest topic is one that, you know, somebody that you called.
Why'd that be so funny to you? It's like, I know, it'd be like, make you feel uncomfortable, right? It's like, when came in and just like, they put the gun on the table and they start laughing. They know the gun's on the table. Right. It's really there type, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is really God.
No,
this is really the whatever many times, I don't have the information how many times I've been here, but it's really that, like, all right.
So
what a terrible interviewer to not go in on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know, right?
Facts.
I would say this is the definition of God complex.
I guess that's why they call it that.
You could tell he just says anything for shock value, because I believe it was the same interview. He said God wasn't there for me. But then a few minutes later, you are God. So what are we talking about? Is he just saying anything?
I think he believes everything he says.
Really?
I believe that he might think that, yeah. At some point, he's going to have a talk with the big guy. And I think the first thing, you know, out of Jesus' mouth is going to be like...
Repeat that?
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
They have this projector that comes down, and they just start replaying all the stuff you said that
on
might...
June 14th at 1:30 p.m.
Right? It's just Jesus going, one more again?
Let's run that back. All right, J-Lo's career is starting to tank a little bit just based off of her public perception. And a brand expert thinks they know why, and it's all got to do with one person. And that one person is allegedly the love of her life, Ben Affleck. So this brand expert has come out and said that basically all the photos that we've seen of her out and about with Ben, she just looks miserable, and it makes everyone think that she's now very unlikable. She says, in the shadow of beloved and long-suffering Jennifer Garner. Much of the imagery we've seen from J-Lo has been mundane. Car rides with Ben, curbside arguments, fast food takeaways, often looking miserable. This has shattered the fourth wall, one which we'd all bought into. We didn't want her to be a normal person.
I see. I don't like this because I think this is equivalent of telling a woman to smile.
Yeah.
Like, she's allowed to walk around and not have, like, be like, hi, yeah, yeah. And, like, I don't buy this as far as Ben Affleck. I think she, to some extent, has drank her own Kool-Aid or she's trying to seem more relatable than she is. Like, you're a superstar. You can still be a kind. I've interviewed her. She's like one of the kindest down-to-earth people that you will talk to. And most like super, super celebrities are. But I feel like she's trying so hard to be a normie that it's coming across disingenuous. And I don't think Ben Affleck has anything to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't Ben's fault. It's J-Lo's fault. And from what I've seen, I don't know her at all. I mean, I saw Kristen interview her, but what's bringing her down is the stories of people talking about alleged interactions with her and how allegedly awful she was to them and, so, like, not a good person.
I've had her in here. It was before you guys were part of the show. And she, like Kristen said, she was a doll.
Yeah.
And P.S., that booty.
Oh, she is.
That's the real deal.
That's not AI?
No. it's a good person.
She's one of the most beautiful people I've ever interviewed.
Sincerely.
Like, stunning.
I don't think, it might have something to do with what you guys are talking about. I also think, you know, when you look at artists like Madonna, that there's some ageism going on here. But the greatest artists know how to evolve with the times. And I think J-Lo hasn't been able to evolve as well. And I think her music just isn't connecting as much anymore. I think that's where it starts.
That's a good point. Fair.
All right, the Hinge CEO is switching up how the entire platform is going to work. I'm going to tell you how you're going to get your matches on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It is never, ever, ever, Cassie, too late to pursue something that you are passionate about, something new in your life that would excite you.
I have an opportunity to attend something that I am not sure if I actually qualify for or if it would be a waste of my time. And really, I'm more embarrassed about being ridiculed or having other people have secondhand embarrassment about me if I attend this. And what I'm talking about is there's a nationwide, so anyone listening can do this if you're a plus size lady, casting call for models for a specific plus size store where I happen to shop a lot called Torrid. They have a lot of cute clothes. And when you get to a certain size, you're like pretty limited anyway in stores. And thank God for like stores like Torrid and Eloquii that exist.
Tell me more about that.
What do you mean?
You said that it's very limited if you go to a store that's not specifically for this. When is the end of the line?
A lot of the times around size 14 or 16. And just to give you, like, the average women's size in the U.S. is like a 14 or a 16 to give you that sort of input. So, like, it used to be, like, when I was a little lighter, pre-kids, I could walk into like a Macy's or something like that and still go to the back of the rack. A lot of the collections wouldn't have my size, but they would have plus sizes sections. They're usually like hidden in the basement, but you can find them.
Is it like a sad core memory when you've been shopping in these stores and then you get to the point where you're just like, oh, damn, they don't have my size anymore?
It is. I think it's like defeating as well, because when you're looking, like, I remember distinctly seeing like Calvin Klein and loving the designs and being like, oh, they stop at a size 12 or 14. This was way back, so I don't know. They may have extended sizes now. And then going to the next rack and seeing it again, and they all stopped at 12 or 14, and just realizing that I was in a different bracket. It's like when you do the age drop-down brackets, right? And you've had a birthday, and they're like, pick your age range, and you realize you're in the next bracket, and you're like, oh, God, I'm not 74 yet, but you have to pick that bracket. It feels like that. And it's just kind of deflating, but then you get used to it, and then these stores exist. Some of them are online only. Torrid has stores and malls, and you're like, oh, there is a saving grace. It just makes life easier when you have to find an outfit, because the way a lot of plus size people shop, it's not, oh, this is a cute outfit, I want to try it on. It's, does this fit me? Great. You know, and so your style is kind of dictated by what fits you. And, you know, that's fine. There are new, like, tons of stores. Athleta's got extended sizes. So it's definitely, like, becoming more of a thing. And if you ever hear anyone say it, it's extended sizes, but straight sizes is what they call, like, what you guys would wear up until, like, a size 12 or maybe a 10. You're straight sized. So if you ever hear that term, you know that just means, like, your typical shopper, right? Anyway, so there's a casting call for Torrid, and I actually went to a model call for them, and I drove to Nashville like 7 years ago, I think.
I remember.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. I waited for hours. I got there before it opened, and it was in and out, and they took my photo, and I never heard anything again. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And now, like, Bert got in my head as well, saying, like, I should be doing modeling, and I'm just looking for, I think, a new adventure as well to embark on right now. So I saw the Torrid casting call come through into my email, and I was like, well, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should try again. You know, if nothing comes of it, oh, well. Like, it would still be kind of cool to do. But then I started thinking, I'm like, I'm not old for the earth. But am I too old to go to a model casting call? And I know there are stores, like, I've seen Target feature older models in their 60s and also, like, models with roles. And so I'm definitely seeing a shift towards what I would call a non-traditional body type. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm old. I'm going to be with and I don't fit the body profile of what's been featured in a lot of plus size. I call it acceptable plus size. It's usually you've got the flat waist or the hourglass figure and then really thick hips and big butt and maybe big arms. I've got a belly and I've got, it's called an apron belly and it's a B belly. And that's just what I have. And that's not really featured in a lot of modeling. So I'm like, is this dumb for me to even waste my time doing when I know that I'm probably not going to fit the age or body style profile of what they're looking for?
Here's what I absolutely love. There's a couple of things that I absolutely am really excited for you about. I'm going to try to push you in this direction, man. I do think you're stunning.
Thank you.
You're so photogenic. I also think there's something.
You look like butt in person, but you look great in pictures.
Thank you. I'm like, everyone watching the video is like, what is he talking about?
I think that this is a major win also, considering how much you've struggled mentally with your weight over the years, how you've told us time and time again how you used to count calories when you were like 2.5 years old. No, it was really, really early.
Yeah.
You were counting calories, and this has always been a struggle for you. So I think breaking through that again and going for it, even if you don't get it, it feels like a win and a shift from your childhood, even if you don't get it.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, too, I'm big on the representation of different body types. So I'm that person who emails companies and both ways and will be like, hey, I would love to see, you know, less airbrushing and more people with this body. Like, thank you for featuring this, but could you also include these people? Because this is not realistic on what it looks like for most of us. And I also email companies that do feature various body types. And I'm like, hey, thank you for include. I see, feel seen, and I really like that I can see myself in your clothes, and it helps me decide what to buy. So thank you. And so I'm sitting here as well. I'm like, would it be very disingenuous of me to sit here and always be emailing these companies and maybe have an opportunity to be one of those non-traditional body types featured so other people who have bodies like me and bellies like me can be like, oh, I can wear clothes too. And then I'm like, well, that's very egotistical. Like, why is it you, Cassie? So I'm going back and forth in my head about it.
You're overthinking it. 100% you should go.
All right.
100% you should go.
Yes, Mo.
And that was my first thought. I was thinking when you were saying that you don't really see it, like you haven't seen your body type. Then if someone told me once, if you don't see it, then be it. Like you should. You should be that person. You should set it off. Yes.
I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go for it.
And why not you, Cassie? Why not you?
Why not you? It's not based on personality, right?
No, my mouth is going to be shut. Okay.
Then I think I think you got a shot. I think you got a shot.
All right.
You go for it.
I will. All right.
Hey, y'all. It's Katie here from The Bird Show. Pride unites us all, and so does Atlanta United. That's why I'm giving you the chance to win a spot in The Bird Show's Pride Night Suite in celebration of Pride Month. That's right. Join me and The Bird Show crew on Sunday, June 2nd, as Atlanta United takes on the fierce rival, Charlotte FC, with kickoff at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We need to beat Charlotte, so we will be loud and proud. Believe that. Oh, and by the way, did I mention Atlanta United is giving away a one-of-a-kind Pride-inspired towel, plus a $5 donation to Lost and Found Youth, an Atlanta-based nonprofit that provides services to the LGBTQ+ youth, which is included with your Pride Night ticket pack. Remember, to enter for your chance to win a spot in The Bird Show's Pride Night Suite, head over to thebirdshow.com. To guarantee your tickets and Pride towel, go to atlutd.com and click the promotional packs tab for more details. Can't wait to see you all there June 2nd at 4:30 p.m. Together, we are Atlanta. Atlanta United. See you there.
If you're looking for somewhere to celebrate, whether it be a birthday or a graduation or anniversary, may I recommend an Atlanta United match? So my husband and I just celebrated our 7th wedding anniversary. He is a massive Atlanta United fan. So, of course, we decided to go to a match at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and had the best time. I'm telling you, if you're a super fan, if you're a casual fan, going to an Atlanta United match is a great way to celebrate. My husband got to watch a great match, and I got to enjoy delicious wine, and I also may have gone to the team shop and got myself a new sweatshirt. I'm very excited about my new Atlanta United sweatshirt. And kudos to Atlanta's fan base, because every time we ride MARTA to go down to a match, it is packed full of people wearing their Atlanta United gear. Visit ATLUTD.com for tickets and also for the match schedule. That's ATLUTD.com.
Are you looking for excitement in Atlanta? Well, you got it right down the street at Mercedes-Benz. That's where Atlanta United plays. And I've been telling you for years, it's one of the most exciting nights that you will have with your family. Soccer is different. It's just different than going to a football game, baseball game. There is no downtime. I mean, the excitement lasts the entire game at an Atlanta United match. And it doesn't even matter if you're really, really into soccer or not. I'll tell you one way to get into soccer. Just go to one Atlanta United game and you will get caught up in the excitement so much that you'll become a lifelong fan. I'm telling you this right now. I love bringing my son Hollis there. I love bringing his friends there. I know it's going to be a safe family event, and I know I'm going to walk out of there. I got some memories now with my kids. So don't look any further. You got one of the best soccer teams in the country right here in our own backyard, Atlanta United. Just give it one try, Atlanta United. You can always get your tickets at ATLUTD.com.
The Burt Show.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. You made it all the way through that segment. How'd you like it? Was it like a 5-star segment? Well, prove it to us. We'd love a review and 5 stars if you got the time. Thanks a lot for listening.
Tough out there in the dating world. There's a lot of things to be confused about, for sure. Abby can't figure out why she's locking these dudes down on dating apps. They set up dates, and then dudes are ghosting her and blocking her and stuff even before the date happens. Can't figure out why.
Yeah, like the last 5 guys to ask me out, asked me out, set a date, and then canceled, and then I never heard from them again.
So they're just bailing.
Just completely bailing. They're saying they're going to reschedule. I know what that means. You would just give me another date if you wanted to actually reschedule.
So the inference was that, look, you have just a lot more online than your average bear, right? So if people immediately like swipe on you and they're all into you, oh, she's hot, then they start to do a deep dive. There's a lot more things to have opinions about and a lot more things to say, oh, no, 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 no. That one thing, nope, on to the next one.
Exactly. So I brought this to the table last week, actually challenged the interns. I'm like, find whatever these dudes are seeing of me on the internet and tell me so I can take it down. Because like you said, there's a lot of content about me and not everything I'm paying attention to or not everything I am going to clock as maybe a red flag for a dude who wants to date me.
Yeah, you really are at a disadvantage here. You know, as a guy on the outside looking in on dating apps, it just feels like there's so much, and I hate to refer to men and women as this, but there's so much inventory that if you find one little thing, you just feel like there's something on the next swipe that's going to be a little bit better. And that's not the truth.
That's true.
I don't feel like referring to it as inventory is bad, because in the early days of dating, like, it really is just like a marketing scheme. Like, how can you get somebody in front of you so that you can give them a sales pitch? And if whatever you're putting out there on the internet isn't working, then we got to switch strategies.
I mean, wasn't this a running storyline on Seinfeld for years that Jerry would always break up with somebody over one little itty bitty thing?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't watch it that much.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, it makes sense. And now that one thing isn't just on your profile. For you, they could be searching for you and doing a background, not a background check, but doing a deep dive on you. And off the app, if there's one little thing and you just have so much content that it gives them the opportunity to be more opinionated. Does that make sense?
Exactly. So I asked the interns, I'm like, can you find something about me that I can take down? And they were good interns and they were little kiss ups and didn't find anything good. And instead just made me feel good about myself, which I appreciate. Shout out to y'all. But then
they took it to Kristen, though.
They sure did.
You didn't even ask for it.
No. Yeah, then they roasted you. They were really nice to me. They really came for your neck. So then people heard the segment and they thought, I think they were a little too nice for you. Let's just come for your ego just a little bit. And I got some very interesting DMs with people having their own theories. Most of them I felt comfortable enough to share. The first one that really tipped me off was someone saying that they think it's my eyebrows. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, no, I don't think it is my eyebrows. Or why they're canceling.
I look at you and I don't think twice about your eyebrows.
Not at all.
You know what? Fair, if my eyebrows were whack, that would be if I had bangs and they were covered up in some of my photos and then they saw a photo of me with without bangs and then you could see my whack eyebrows, that would make sense.
You think that must have been advice from a woman because dudes don't look at eyebrows.
100%.
They look at your smile, then your boobs and your butt.
That's all you need.
That's it.
Really. Yep.
Smile, boobs, butt.
That's it.
Smile, boobs, butt.
That's what it is.
So we're simple creatures.
Someone said that they asked their brother for an opinion, and they said, you know, you have a lot of Taylor Swift content out there, and I guess for guys, posting about Taylor Swift is sort of the equivalent of them posting about having, the equivalent of them having those dead fish photos.
On your dating profile as a woman, if you have a picture of yourself and anything to do with Taylor Swift, like an Eras Tour sweatshirt or something at her concert or hint to her lyrics or something, that is the male equivalent to a picture of a guy holding a fish. I was crying. Cite my sources, Garrett, my buddy, he was like making this reference this past weekend. My mind was blown. I was like, that's hilarious. Evidently, that's how a lot of the guys feel. So, let me know your thoughts. I'm off the dating profile, so I don't really know. Nor do I care, but I thought it was funny.
So that was from Winston Hines on TikTok, I guess, that was going around their guy group chat.
So it's not all Swifties, but Swifties do have a name for themselves of being pretty intense people. Mm-hmm. So I can see how that could come across as like a little bit of a red flag.
Yeah, and most of her audience is women anyway. So when a guy sees it, I wonder if it's giving off a basic vibe.
Basic vibes, or I could understand if they maybe thought it was the equivalent to like someone who's really, really passionate about like Disney. Maybe it gives them like Disney adult vibes, and maybe they think, oh, all she's going to talk about is Taylor Swift, which they're not wrong. So, you know, at least the marketing is doing its job. Another person said that they watched my intro video when I first came to the Burt Show, and I was talking about like, you know, all the things I'm excited to do in Atlanta and all the things that make me. And they said, I said two things that seem like it could be red flags for men. It said that, it might be a red flag that I'm saying I need to trick a man into loving me.
That was funny.
And I was like, satire, hello. Mm-hmm. And that I also mentioned that I've never been in love, and apparently that's a red flag.
I think if I was a dude doing a deep dive on you, and one of the videos or audio came up of you saying that you've never been excited for a second date, and if it was in the very beginning when you were embellishing that, and you said you've been on 100 dates and never been excited about a second date, as a dude, That would be a red flag for me.
See, I feel like you're impossible to please.
So that's number four on the list.
That's interesting to me because for me as a guy, I would see that the complete opposite way. Like if I seen a woman that I was attracted to say she'd been on 100 dates and nobody's made her excited for two, it would make me feel like I'm the guy. Mm-hmm. See, I would accept the challenge.
So here's what's so interesting about this conversation to me, and I've said it before to you, Abby. People have preferences.
Yeah.
You know, they just have preferences. So there is a guy out there that is going to look at your profile, then he's going to do a deep dive. And every single time he finds something else out about you, because he's your match, it will turn him on more and more and more. If I'm you, I don't do a damn thing to my personality. Preach. I don't do a damn thing to my eyebrows. I don't do a damn thing. There is someone out there that fits you perfectly. Don't change anything.
No, I'm not. So I want someone who sees that more as a challenge and less of like, what if she doesn't like me and she's not excited for a second date? Like, I want someone excited about that. And then the last one, which I actually feel like it could be the most valid thing anyone said, but it doesn't mean I'm going to change anything because I'm confident and proud of the decisions that I've made. But somebody said a lot of guys might not like the fact that I endorse a sex shop, essentially. And they might
Adam and Eve?
Yes, Adam and Eve. They might think, oh, well, she's not a good girl, or they're looking for someone a little bit more like, I don't know, squeaky clean. And I'm like, all right, well, if that's turning them off, yeah. I'm laughing all the way to bank.
There's
to
also
bank.
A guy out there that is like, oh, she's an Adam and Eve. That means she's open-minded. Uh-huh. There's a sensuality about her.
Sexually
she's
confident. Yes.
Exactly, 100%.
So he's out there.
Yeah.
He just hasn't found you yet.
So we're still looking.
The
search continues.
The Bird Show.
You broke one of your major dating rules a couple of weeks ago, you were telling us, and that rule has everything to do with texting and drunk.
Yes, I just have made the decision that I'm not going to drunk text a man when I'm inebriated. I made this decision way back in college when I got so drunk that I confessed my love for a man over text. Shouldn't have done that, and then I woke up so embarrassed that I lied, and I was like, oh gosh, I was so drunk last night, I ended up in the hospital, so I didn't have to actually say that I was in love with him. I was just so drunk that I just started saying anything to this man. And I have never drunk texted a man since until about 2 weeks ago at Bert's birthday party when I was a little tipsy in the back of an Uber and decided to shoot my shot with some guy I followed on Instagram for a while.
And it's been like cringy since, right?
I have not gone back to look at that text because I don't want to relive what I said. I don't want to do it.
Even before Kristen gets into some of the comments she saw online on Reddit of like really bad drunk texts.
These will make you feel so much better.
That's what we're looking for. Here. If you guys are listening right now and you want to go on The Voice Disguiser to make Abby feel better about the drunk text you sent out, 1-855-BIRCHA.
All right. So somebody ate 3 boxes of Peeps on Easter and took a really nasty poo. They tried texting a picture to their group of guy friends. So took a picture of the Peeps poo.
Wow.
To send to his group text, but instead sent it to the girl he'd been dating for 3 weeks.
No. Yay.
You ready for this? 2 years later, she still brings it up.
she stayed with him.
I think so.
Okay.
They're still together.
There really was an idea out there to have like a breathalyzer for your phone. And when you blew into it, if you blew a certain amount, you couldn't text. It would turn off.
I need that feature.
I think it's brilliant.
All right. Another text from Reddit. My dad's totally going to know I'm drunk and high. Sent the text to my dad. He responded, I do now, you dumbass. And then this one that was sent to a mother. I was drunk at my friend's house party. I found a phone on the floor and decided to take a pic of my D and send it to the person's mother.
No.
Next day when I sobered up, my mom asked me, why did you send me a picture of your D?
Oh, no.
I just want to crawl somewhere.
No.
In a hole. It never come out.
I remember years ago doing a similar question on the Bert Show and somebody calling saying they sent it to their grandmother.
I would have to leave town and change my name.
You'll never see me again.
This one was drunk and bold. Wanted to get some and decided to text 2 girls instead of texting them separately. I texted them together in a group chat. In the group chat, they both texted, who's the other person in this chat?
Oh, God.
I didn't answer.
Oh, God. All right, here is Gabby, who wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Gabby, make Abby feel better about the drunk text she said, because she's been cringing about it ever since.
I spent over a year with a guy from Puerto Rico, and he went back home, and a couple of months after he went back home, I was in my feelings. I got drunk at home alone, and I sent him a text that was so long that it opened into a separate, like, notepad.
Oh, no.
It was so long, telling him that I loved him and I hoped that, you know, maybe he would come back or that I'd be able to see him again. Anyways, I went on and on and on and showed it to my best friend the next day, and she laughed so hard that I had to block the guy on everything, and I haven't talked to him
since. Oh, no.
That goes on your permanent record right there. Here is Corey, who wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. How about texting the girlfriend's mother?
Ooh.
No bueno. Hey, Corey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got?
So, this was at a party that I went to a few months ago. It was the first time that I'd ever gotten drunk outside of high school. And I got way too wasted, way more than I need to. And it was really embarrassing, but somebody dared me to text my girlfriend's mother on Instagram. And I'm absolutely wasted. So I was like, screw it, let's do it, right? terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I find her profile, my girlfriend's on Instagram, and then I find her mom's through the following. And this is so embarrassing. I sent her a message asking to thoroughly play the piano. So
No! Corey!
What?
Yeah.
Wait, do that one more. Say that one more time. I might have missed that, and I also want to make it more painful for you. Say that one more time.
I asked her to thoroughly play the piano with me.
Oh, my God.
That is what I heard.
Did you get a response?
Yes.
Yeah, his girlfriend dumping him.
What did your girlfriend's mom say?
She said that she was interested.
Oh! Oh! Get out of here. Was she joking or was she serious?
I don't know, and I'm too scared to find out.
The Bird Show.
It's not your fault. It's America's fault. It's America's fault because you have to make a living and bring in some cash. So you're going to be in work in a couple of minutes, and you're going to miss a really kick-ass Bird Show later on today. We're talking to one daughter that's really pissed that her mom started dating again after a divorce and got ghosted. And we have some results on exactly why she got ghosted. Like, we know why. So you'll miss that because you're going to be in the work. Damn America. Damn mortgage. Car, right? So don't miss it because when you get to that job that is giving you that money, you can always listen on demand, segment by segment, or the whole thing. You can go to theburtshow.com or any podcasting platform. And there we are. Hi. So check us out online later on. All right. So our intern, Courtney, here is suffering from some imposter syndrome that could be getting in her way of doing something really, really cool.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and apologize to Cassie because I feel like I've been on kind of a hot streak lately. I've had all these crazy cool opportunities presented to me. I feel like they've just fallen in my lap. And granted, I've worked for where, to be where I am, but I got
Cassie's been struggling with a lot of bad luck lately.
Yeah.
Cassie, a lot of bad luck.
Plug your ears.
Like, I get nervous about it too because I'm on one of these good runs and just being around Cassie, I feel like it's just, I don't know if it can rub off.
The thing is, I'm like the opposite. I'm not spreading it out. I'm absorbing all of your bad luck.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right.
I'm like a bad luck stone.
So it's like, don't make eye contact. We'll be fine. So I got this really cool opportunity to be the first ever student intern for a study abroad trip at the University of West Georgia. And I'm interning a trip to Italy.
What?
Nice.
It's so cool. I went on the trip last year as a student and just really thrived in the culture and environment. And so I was given the opportunity to go back this year as a student intern and be able to assist in teaching some of the classes I took, which is like so overwhelmingly cool. And then not to mention, because I'm technically like university staff, they're helping me pay for a lot of my flight and apartment. Ooh. Right. And so I was so overwhelmed. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, can I do this? Like,
yes.
I know that I have the qualifications on paper or they wouldn't have picked me.
Of
right?
course.
But it's like, I'm not well traveled. I've only traveled very few times. And now all of a sudden I'm in charge of taking people through the airport. I'm in charge of, we're doing a field trip to Perugia and I'm in charge of taking a small group there. And it's just like so overwhelming because I feel like I don't even know what I'm doing. And now all of a sudden I have to tell everybody else what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how to put myself in the right mindset to travel and not be anxious for myself. But also now that I have children to take care of, I'm just kind of in a weird spot.
Well, you fake it till you make it. Get That's crazy. How everybody in here has done it.
Facts.
You can only become well-traveled by traveling. All right. So that would be another thing. And, you know, I forget what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, but I feel very strongly about this, that our default is always like, what's going to happen if I don't succeed in this area? And we get ourselves so stressed out about it that it paralyzes us. And we don't spend nearly the same amount of time or even more amount of time imagining what it's going to look like when we kick ass at it, or if we kick ass at it.
Yeah. I would love to sit here and daydream about all the things that could happen. And it's just, I'm kind of like Abby. I catastrophize everything, especially because I'm in charge of other people's kids. Like, that's a big responsibility. And I'm still learning myself how to travel, how to be literate, how to read the train station map because it's in another language. It's just such small things that I can't quite get out of my head.
So the imposter syndrome is real. I think every single person has currently had it or had it at some point in time in their career. I think just listening to you, and I'm going to hopefully this resonates. you're going to thrive. You're going to do so good because I can tell you care so much. Mm. Like, and I had a friend tell me this. Like, I get nervous every time I do something. And he's like, Kristen, that's a good thing because it means you care. So you care about these kids. You care about doing a good job. You went last year, so you already have the experience of the trip. So you have that to fall on. So embrace those nerves. Don't fight them. Like, embrace them. And I guarantee you, once you get there and you get settled after a couple of days, you'll be like, they made the right decision.
Yeah, she's exactly right. Like, people who don't care are not going to thrive. But I also think you need, I think a part of healing the imposter syndrome is getting rid of the notion that you have to be really excellent right off the bat. I think 99.9% of the things that I've done, like if I step into it, I think I have to be good immediately. And nobody, I don't know if it's prodigy syndrome or what, where you feel like you should just be naturally good at things or things should just feel natural immediately, like moving to a new country by yourself or taking care of a bunch of kids who were just your peers like 6 months ago. You've never done it before. So it's not going to feel immediately natural. You're not going to get everything right off the bat, but you care and it's going to take some adjustment. But as long as you stick to it, like, months will go by and then you will be kicking ass at the job.
I was going to say something very similar to Abby, and it's a quote that kind of sums it up that's always comforted me, which is you don't have to be great when you start, but you do have to start to be great.
Ooh.
So you got to start. That's really what it comes down to. And you spend so much time in your life thinking about things that will never happen, the failures that will never occur. It's such a waste of time. Just trust yourself, trust the journey, trust the process, and go in there and do your best. And if all you can do is all you can do and all you can do is enough.
Listener Alexis here also went to West Georgia, and she's got advice for you about this trip. Good morning, Alexis.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you.
Good. I just want to give a big go West, go Wolves. But I do want to say I did get the opportunity to do something similar while I was in college, not exactly abroad, but I got to go to California on a trip and work out there for a little while. And it actually changed the whole course of my career and, you know, what I decided to do. So I highly recommend just taking the jump, going for it, and then seeing what comes out of it later on.
That's great advice. Thank you. Just to ease your mind a little bit and give yourself a little leeway, how many kids are going on this trip?
So there's two separate sessions. I'll be there for 8 weeks. The first session is, I believe, 19, and the second one is about 12.
Okay, so if you come back with 18 and 11, the numbers are still good.
Yeah.
That's Hall of Fame in baseball.
Yeah, give yourself a break. Mm-hmm. That's like 95% right there.
Listen, it's The Burt Show.
Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This is either really good news or really bad news for people on the Hinge dating platform. As you've heard me say, it's not too great out here. Dating apps, not super fun. But on the Diary of a CEO podcast, the Hinge CEO says they're going to start moving away from the model where people match with each other, where you see somebody's profile and you like it, or somebody sees your profile and they like it, and then if you like theirs and you go out on a date. They said that they're moving towards a model where they're actually going to have matchmakers set people up on dates.
The bigger leap, though, is to move much closer to what feels like a matchmaker model. And that, I think, starts to solve some of the problems that you were just talking about, where it's less like you're just sitting there evaluating, and that whole idea of like creating a profile, matching, trying to chat, trying to move it off to a date. Like when you work with a matchmaker, you just have an interview and they learn who you are. They go out and interview other people and they say, hey, we think you all should meet. We'll set up the date. And then after the date, I'm going to follow up to see how it went and provide some feedback.
Interesting.
I think we can get closer and closer to that model where we're like going almost straight to setting up dates that are with a much higher likelihood of success than sort of leaving it on the user to create a personal advertisement for themselves and, you know, do all the work to sort of find through people that are going to like them, that will like them back, et cetera.
I think it's a really great idea in theory. I just do not see this happening at all. I don't see 99% of the people getting on this platform sitting down with a matchmaker and going through a whole interview process, because I think the majority of people who get on the apps, and I'm mainly really speaking towards guys, I think a lot of women would do this. I think they just kind of create it out of curiosity and then they sort of use it as like an online shopping platform. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're slowly going back just to the old school way of dating, because like matchmaking was the thing back in the day. And this also, I don't know if y'all saw the Black Mirror episode about like a dating service, matchmaking or whatever. it kind of tainted my whole view of everything.
Is that right?
He's a taint.
I did.
I saw this TikTok the other day. It was a dude about your age, maybe a little younger, 24, maybe 23 years old. And he was saying that he wished technology, the kind of technology for dating, never existed. Like, he wished that he could go old school and put the phone away, meet people out there in the wild, see them face to face, hit it off that way, or meet them through friends. And he was saying, like, I hate technology.
I'm the same exact way. I feel like every healthy, even friendship or relationship I've had came from a just natural kind of setting of where we just happened to meet. It was organic. So for me, dating is so important that I would want to be in charge of my own fate. Like, I want to be in control of whether or not I waste my time with somebody, not somebody setting me up.
You don't want someone to tell you who to waste your time with?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. You can do that on your own?
Yes, I got that. Don't worry about it.
All right, T-Pain was involved in a hit and run accident in Atlanta, and he is coming for them.
Look, man, I know out here struggling and all that, and things are hard. Times is rough these days, but whoever just ran into the back of my damn truck, and whoever just hit me, my wife, my road manager, my driver, whoever just did that and drove the off, my life's about to get so much worse.
Yeah.
Oh my God. First of all, you left whole day in front of your truck. So we know what we're looking for now. You left your baby toy, so now we know you got kids. This is going to be, I know times is hard and I know things is rough out there, but I tell you what, it's going too great for me to not make me want revenge right now, because you drove the off. And boy, that was the worst part. It wasn't even the wreck.
So I'm too small to go to jail. I know that. So it keeps me straight, keeps me in line, right? But also that this is just common sense. There's not a square inch in a downtown area that doesn't have a camera on it. You can't get away with anything anymore. Where are you driving to? They see the act. There's going to be some camera that sees the accident and you taking off. It's done.
Facts. And I would love to have been in the car when the person realized finally that the person that they hit and ran was somebody famous. And you are certainly not going to get away with this now.
Right.
Yeah, imagine finding out that you're going to get caught based off of a Twitter video from T-Pain. It's like, oh, that's who I hit?
Of all the people.
Yeah, and you know that this person went home and said, I got to be honest with you, I got in an accident today. And the person I hit looked just like T-Pain.
Never believe it.
Okay, Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry have some interesting relationship advice that I'm wondering about, you know, how you guys feel about it, the people in relationships, if you think that this is the key to sticking it out in the long run. So Orlando was recently getting interviewed and he was asked about his relationship with Katy Perry, and he said the key to it is just constantly letting go. If it's good, if it's bad, if it doesn't serve me, you got to let things go, which I guess is just basically being really good at forgiving.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No way. Because that stuff, you know what, you could say that you're pushing it to the side or whatever. At some point or another, it is going to come back in the form of like this little thing that your significant other does. And then all of a sudden, everything that you're like, it wasn't a big deal, becomes a big deal.
And it blows up. I agree wholeheartedly with what
It's just let it go.
Yeah, it's because it's the whole, the book that I read, and then you also gifted everybody, The Art of Not Giving an F.
Uh-huh.
You just have to give an F about the right things.
Yeah.
That's true. I read that book 3 times. I'm still struggling. I'm trying to let it go,
maybe,
man.
Maybe the audio book is this next time.
Maybe.
I think, you know what? You just turned me around.
That
you're right.
Wow, that was easy.
You really did.
See, you let it go.
All right, Megan Thee Stallion is getting sued by her former photographer, who says he was forced to watch her get it on. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Listen, it's The Burt Show.
Oh, the office goss, man. I mean, we've had some doozies around this place over the years, that's for sure. So we want to hear about your office gossip, like not a one-time thing. We're looking for storylines. Okay, so something's going on in the office. Everybody knows about it. It's a big old secret, but everybody knows about it and it's playing out. We want to follow along with you guys on The Voice Disguiser if you got some hot goss going on in the office, all right? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Right now, it's lining up. We got two. Oh, yeah, of course, co-workers having relationships with each other, and they're both in relationships.
That's a good
right, man.
Duh. Hey, we will call you Macy, and you are on The Voice Disguiser. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. All right, spill it. Spill it all.
Okay, so this girl, my parents, they actually work with people that come out of the country and they help them like find jobs. Well, this girl, she came to my job and she's maybe about 25 or so. And there's this supervisor that we have that's really flirty, but he never does anything because he is married. And everybody's like, oh, that's just him. So she actually needed rides there, but I have two jobs and I'm never able to give her a ride because I have really crazy hours. So he lives about 15 miles away and in the opposite direction, and he takes her home every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he's married, and my parents just told me that she has a fiance back in the country that she lives in.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
And that he's going to be coming back here in a month.
All right. So you guys are certain that these drives home are not just simply a drop-off and then he takes off. So you got two people in the office that are both in committed relationships that are hooking up with each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and my parents know who her aunt is. And she was like saying like that she's been bringing him around, that he comes into the house and talks to her and stuff.
That's good stuff.
So
this is pretty calm.
I'm actually very shocked, and my friend's keeping me up on what's going on in the office since I'm not there all the time. And people are saying that his wife is saying, oh, it's okay if he messes around. But my dad went to high school with his wife, and she is very jealous.
Oh, this is good.
But never.
This is fun.
Thank you, Macy, for this hot goss. We will definitely keep all your contact info and check in and see what happens when the fiance comes back or gets to the U.S.
Yeah. Hold on one sec for us, okay?
Fireworks coming out of that one.
Tea.
Because the fiance is in another country, it doesn't count.
Oh, whatever.
He's not cheating.
If you got to cross an ocean, it's all good.
What's the mileage on that? How far away?
Once she sets foot on American soil, now we got a problem.
Okay.
But at this point, look up the NATO rules.
Okay. Yeah.
Cindy, good morning. You are on the Burt Show. Tell us about the hot gossip going on in your office.
Okay, so there's three girls that I work with, and they're all sleeping with the manager.
Wow.
Yes, and they just all found out about it. So they are planning on setting him up. They're all going to ask him to go out for a drink. And mind you, he's married with children, and he is just everywhere. And this ain't the first time. I've been working with the company for 16 years. He sleeps with everybody.
Oh, he's equal opportunity.
Yeah. He's discriminating. He's being praised right now. Can't believe you're coming down on this.
What's the problem here?
Okay, so they didn't know, but they found out. I'm curious, do you know how they found out and how are they going to set him up again?
They were all talking. Well, one girl is, I guess, better friends than the other girl. So she started talking to her about it. And then the other girl chimed in and they were like, are y'all serious? And then the other man, because we have like six different managers. Then the other manager was like, y'all should have known that. He sleeps with everybody around here. It was this big old talk in the break room. So everyone just found out about everything. And I guess they're all texting, and I guess they're going to do it this weekend. They're like going to set him up.
This is what we call a call. This call we call in the industry, booyah! Yeah, this is what we're looking for right here.
About it every day. Yes, it's just like this big thing. Like everyone knows, and I'm pretty sure he knows. I mean, we just work in a small company, so everyone talks about everybody.
What an idiot.
So they are planning this right now, and there's a quick turnaround on this storyline, too, because it's going to happen this weekend.
Yes.
So they're all planning it right now, and they're just going to all separately ask him out for a drink, and they all three show up?
Yes, they all have a group chat. It's like he's going down.
Oh my God,
this is beautiful.
Great. I want to know the name of that group chat, by the way. All right, Cindy, please stay on the line so we can get your information because we will definitely check in on Monday to see how everything panned out.
Yeah, I mean, this is so ripe for blackmail. So right.
Absolutely.
If this guy wants to keep his job and not, go, I mean, because he's going to lose his job. They go to HR. Bye-bye.
It's over.
Out of the end. This is so ripe for blackmail if they wanted to do it. All right, hold on one sec. Like Kristen said, we'll get your info. We are definitely talking to you again, okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, it's the Burt Show.
Listen, It's the Bert Show.
I'm trying to evolve as a human being.
Why? That's not going to be good for ratings.
No, I think it's actually going to be really good.
Think about us.
Yeah, because I'm about to really anger one of my friends, and that's good.
Oh, okay.
That's good for ratings, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't mean to do. So I was raised in a house where the rule was Christmas morning or on birthdays, if you open up a gift and you don't like that gift, you STFU and you say thank you and you take the gift.
Preach.
Right?
Absolutely.
So that's where I've been my entire life. So I just recently had a birthday. And a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, was a little belated birthday present that she dropped off. And I opened it up this morning, and she's good because she knows that I've been doing a lot more cycling lately. Like, I'm taking out my e-bike way more. And
she get you some butt pants?
Well, let me just, I'm gonna pass a picture around of what she got me. And I have a hard internal rule about this. You know my rule, right? I don't put those... When I'm riding my bike, I got gym shorts on, I got a t-shirt on or some tank top. I'm not riding the Tour de Sandy Springs where I need to have that whole
spandex outfit.
I guess that you wear that because It's aerodynamic and you're trying to get to where you're going faster. And I see these men and women in packs, literally like it's the Tour de Sandy Springs, right? I refuse to put one of those on.
Like the one piece, right?
Yeah. The spandex one piece.
Yeah, this is a two piece.
Oh, okay, all right.
But it's in the same vein. And not only did she get me this, but she got one for me that is bright yellow.
So you don't get hit by a car.
I'd rather be hit by a car.
Trust me on this. No, you don't.
Oh, wow.
Go ahead, pass that around. Right, now, her heart was in the right place. Or maybe this is a gag gift. I'm not sure, but I'll never wear that.
No, you have to wear it in studio this week.
Oh, that would be fun.
You have to. Okay. It's cute.
I'll do it for a laugh on Friday, but I will never wear that out on the streets on my bike, right? Mo has it in his hands right now.
Could you picture Burt Weiss in that?
No. I want to see it, though.
Those are some nut huggers right there,
man. Serious, right? Look at how happy Scott is.
Okay, Big Bird.
I mean, it's bright yellow and black, so I have a hard rule that I'm never going to be in one of those anyway, so it'll never be worn. And her heart was in the right place. She knows me really well, so she should know that I would never, ever, ever wear that, but apparently she doesn't. So do I accept that? And this is a person that's in my life quite a bit. So she would know if it was not being worn. So do I just say straight up, hey, thank you so much, but I'm never wearing that. Or do I just accept it and then just assume that she's going to assume she's missed me on the days that I come back and I have that thing on?
If this is somebody that you hang out with on the regular, the next time you hang out with them, wherever it is, you wear that outfit.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
You wear that outfit so they can see what a ridiculous gift it was.
So I can say to her, like, hey, I'll meet you at Fridays tonight for a drink.
Yes.
And then she shows up, and then there I am, like, looking like Lance Armstrong.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
You should do
That's
it.
That's good.
Every time you meet them socially. Seriously. It'll be if they have a funny sense of humor, it'll be funny, and then they'll get the message.
She is a loving friend. She really is a very good friend and knows me so well. So
yes. Really? That well? Because it don't seem like it.
Right. Unless she's joking.
So, unless it's a play on Big Bird's Adventure.
She knows you love bumblebees.
Unless maybe it was a gag gift and I'm taking it seriously. But she knows, like, what with love languages, I wrote these down. The love languages are what? Words of affirmation, right? Quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and receiving gifts. Mm-hmm. The first four for me are almost on the same line. Words of affirmation, quality time is physical touch to me.
We'll
merge those
two
together.
You're not getting that from any of us.
I'm not asking.
You ain't getting it from anybody with that outfit on.
No doubt. And the last one for me is receiving gifts. Like, it's just, it doesn't touch me.
Yeah.
Much like that fabric never will my back.
Next time you see her, wear it, please.
The Bert Show.
All right, Robin is like, hey, don't stop that thing. I got drama going on in my office. Don't stop now. So we were looking for those that have gossip going on in the office, and we want to follow your storyline for the next day, week, month, whatever it is. Robin, what is it you have?
So I work for a pretty small business. I won't say where. I'm only one of 10 employees, and recently my boss let go of her longest and most loyal employee because she was convinced something was going on with that employee and her husband, the boss's husband. And I'm not sure what specific rumors she heard, but they are only partially true. Her husband isn't having a relationship with the woman that was let go. He's actually having a relationship with not one, but two others in the office.
What is going on?
There is a common theme going on that managers now are really taking advantage of the situation. Not just one. Yeah. Anybody can do that. Can have an affair with one employee. Let's go with three or two. Yeah. So tell us about it.
So neither one of them seems to care that he's seeing them both. And they also have no idea that the rest of us know. And one of my other coworkers overheard both of these women talking about taking turns with him.
Oh, my God.
That is different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they're talking about taking turns with the boss who's out of town, which happens quite frequently. And I don't know. I don't know if they both really like him or if they just both like the money and the gifts. And I don't know if that's some fancy nights out that they get from him. But, I assume this is why they don't care about the other.
So they both know about each other. And they've sort of made an agreement, like, you can have this dude on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I get him on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
It seems like it, yes. I've got partial custody.
He's got some stamina.
Man,
he's keeping busy.
He is. Boy, he's a busy man. That schedule is insane.
Seriously, a wife and two side chicks at the office?
Wow.
That's a lot of extracurricular activity, man.
Yeah. When does he work?
And he's a manager.
Right.
That's right. He's delegated. He's got everybody else doing the job for him.
All right, Robin. Same with you. We will put you on hold, and we will check back with you and follow your office gossip storyline, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Hold on one sec for us. All right, Kristen, you got very excited about your party coming up again.
Save the day because the Pinot period party is back.
Because, baby, now we got bad blood.
Seriously.
Bad blood. So take a look what you've done. Because, baby, now we got bad blood.
Hey! All right, on your calendar, mark it. Sunday, May 19th, I'm giving you plenty of notice, at Chateau Alon Winery, exactly where we had it last year, we are doing the Pinot Period Party. I don't know if you know this, but next month, the month of May, is Period Poverty Awareness Month, okay? 1 in 4 women and menstruators reported not being able to afford period products. 1 in 5 low-income women and menstruators have missed school, work, or similar activities due to a lack of access to period products. We want to change that.
That's crazy to me in this country, man. It sounds like you're talking about a third world country.
I know, but it's true, and these are the stats for the U.S. So Helping Mamas is a local nonprofit. They're actually the Baby Bank Supply of Georgia, but they also collect period products. And this is a drive we did last year. We collected 30,000 period products last year. I would love to exceed that number again this year. DJ Willie T is going to be there with his special period mix. You already got a little taste of it.
Yeah.
It was so good last year.
Pretty much Taylor Swift's whole Red album covers everything.
We're going to have light bites and wine for purchase. I always take your suggestions. I had a Burt Show listener hit me last year. She's a non-drinker, and she's like, I don't feel like I would like to come, but I don't drink. We have a special non-alcoholic beverage that we're going to be offering this year. So if you don't partake in alcohol, by all means, you can still come and put these period kits together. We also have some huge prizes to give away, like a weekend stay at Chateau Alon Winery. So Sunday, May 19th, from 2 to 4, we're going to be at Chateau Alon Winery collecting period products. So this event is completely free. Admission is free. All we're asking is for you to donate and bring, like, either tampons, pads, or panty liners. I'm so excited. Abby and Cassie are going to be there, like last year. And it was such a fun event. And it had great energy, right? Oh, yeah. So it starts off like, and we all get there and we're working hard, like, and it's such a collaborative atmosphere too, making these period packets. And then the wine hits in. And my favorite part of the event was, besides helping other women, rolling down the vineyard hill in a dress to seeing which of us could reach the bottom first.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, drunk off white wine. That was great.
Isn't one of you allergic to grass too?
Yeah, that was me. I may have broke out in a little bit of a rash after we did that. I
forgot about that. Huh?
But it was such a, we put so many period kits together, and I was just riding this period high that I decided to roll down the side of the winery. All right, so all the details are at theburtshow.com. We have a bunch of prizes we're giving away, but I just wanted to go ahead and get this on your calendars because I know we're all busy. Sunday, May 19th, the Pinot Period Party at Chateau Alain, all to benefit Helping Mamas.
Mo, I want you and I to put on our calendar May 19th, save the date also, to be anywhere but there.
No, say less. No, dude.
Done and done.
You should come. Seriously. There were dudes there last year and they were so sweet. This That's one nice. Man came and dropped off a ton of period products and then he stayed and put period kits together. It was honestly the sweetest thing ever.
Sounds like you got it covered.
If you're a single dude, you're about to walk into a room full of drunk women. I mean, come on. Your chances are through the roof.
I'm not single.
Yeah.
I don't.
You can still help other women even if you're not, but this isn't for y'all. This is for other men out there who want to help people, but maybe also get a date.
Okay. Man. There's a big game that night.
Yeah, that's the biggest one.
It's the biggest one.
Yeah. Which one is that?
Again?
Who's playing?
The Pandas versus the Maroon 5.
All right. It's time for an improv class.
Okay. Listen, you must have gotten no sleep last night because you want to fly today. Sucks.
Mo, look at that, man.
Mo, what you should have said, Mo, is ironically, the Braves are playing the Reds.
I don't want to see that game. I want to see the Pandas versus Maroon 5.
Money's on the Pandas all day, every day.
How many Pandas is it going to take down Adam Levine?
Exactly that. We can't miss that.
You do raise a good point. Like, the numbers, if you're a guy and you show up to this, are going to be in your favor.
Oh, very much. Very much in your favor.
All right, again, where can you get a ticket? Or do you need tickets?
This is a free event. We want you to come and have a good time. We're just asking kindly for donations. So show up with a box of tampons, panty liners, or pads. Why you chuckle?
Because it's just, I could just see me calling up one of my dudes going, hey, what are you doing today, dude? You want to go up north?
Yeah, sure.
Where are we going? And then I just pull up with my boys. All right. Did you take us to what?
Call your buddy and ask him, can you swing by Publix and grab me some Kotex?
Yes.
We're about
we
to turn it out.
All of it. You know what? You need to woman up and you need to go buy some pads and some panty liners and some tampons and get your ass to Chateau Alain Winery, all right?
Busy. All of the info, where can they get the info?
TheBurtShow.com.
The Burt Show.